Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know who it is. It is I. It is FSP. I'm going to my military. This is Vic FSP. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. This is our weekend edition. And on this show today, we have a special guest. We have Miss Black America DC, Camilla Collier-Mullen, who will be joining us very shortly. And we're going to talk to her about her life story, the inspiration that made her do the things that she has done in her life as far as giving back to those who gave to her. We're going to talk about the pageant. We're going to talk about her event that just took place on the 10th, as well as what's going on in the future with her. Also today, we'll discuss a little MMA action, college football, and, of course, NFL. So, you know, it's a jam-packed show. I'm a little sick, as you can tell. I don't normally sound like this, but I'm still sexy. Y'all know I am. Can I get a soul clap for that? I think I can get a soul clap for that. Right now, I'm going to introduce one of my co-hosts for the day, and then we're going to get straight to our guest because I have my guest sitting in the holding cell, so to speak. But right now, I'm going to bring on the geriatric one, the Maastrick, formerly known as the Master. His name is Jerry Lights Out Taylor. What's up, Jerry?
How you doing there, man? I got a short time with you. I think you got my message about I'm on my way to my nephew's state final football game.
Okay. All right. Well, it's cool. I have the guest as well, but we're about to put her on. I understand. Since the Jets aren't going to make it to any type of championship game, you need to live through your nephew. I understand. But let's get to our guest real quick. As I said before, she is currently Miss Black America D.C. Metropolitan. I'm from D.C., so this is near and dear from my heart. The young lady has had a tumultuous childhood, and the events that took place in her life has shaped her to the person that she is today. And without further ado, I'd like to bring in Miss Camilla.
Yes.
Collier. Mullen, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine. Let me give you a clap because, you know, I normally don't do that for everybody.
Clap.
There you go. On the line with me right now, I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, well, as long as you're talking about the Cowboys, if you talk about the Cowboys, I got to give you something else, and I don't want to do that to you. I don't boo people, but I will if you talk about the Cowboys.
Well, I'm the queen of the city, so I definitely have to represent everything that is homebred. So definitely all of my hometown favorites. So go
for
it.
You get another one for that. You get another one.
Y'all are funny.
All right. Miss Mullen, it's courtesy of Black the Bookie. I'm not sure what's up with Black. He didn't make it today. But it's okay because I have a lovely young lady on the line. I have an old geriatric guy on the line. But, Jerry, please welcome our guest.
Welcome, Camilla. I listened to your, or I viewed your YouTube about your tragic events that took place that put whatever happened to your life up until now in motion.
Yes.
Can you comment about that?
Yeah, absolutely. First, let me just say again, you guys, thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm just applaud at everything that when I see people, you know, really coming to the ground and sowing seeds back into the community. And so this is exactly what you guys are doing. You know, even if, you know, when part of it is entertainment and, you know, when you're bringing people like myself on, you were definitely sowing seeds back into the community. So I'm just really excited to be a part of what you guys are doing here. So thank you again for having me. Thank you to Black for the invitation. A lot of what I do, and when I do my speaking tours, I speak to a lot of young women, young kids, you know, all the way from Howard University to different elementary schools and even young entrepreneurs. I mean, my story is one, I guess, that if I had to put it into one branding message, it would be probably from tragedy to triumph. And the one thing that I love about that is that there is no age limits. There is no cultural, you know, differentiation to that message because we all are going through something, you know, and if we haven't, guess what? It's coming. So what I love is that, you know, what I really try to challenge people to do is just really take from my story, because I learned a while ago that, you know, people just find my story very inspiring. Now, for me, and I say this with the utmost humility, you know, it was just my life. You know, I never imagined that, you know, one day something that was so, you know, horrific to my life and just being able to live through it would be something that was going to be a blessing to others. But I just feel ordained that, you know, I need to speak, you know, to other people that, you know, if you get up every day and you still have breath, there's something still left for you to do. And that means that whatever it is you went through, it wasn't big enough to stop you. When I was 10 years old, my mother was murdered, and which was unfortunate enough, as you can imagine, but I was also present at the time. And the YouTube video, it's called Angels Do Exist. It's a small documentary that we've created to kind of get the message out there in a nutshell to people about what inspired me, you know, to really keep going and where I am today to kind of to move to that. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., lived in Upper Northwest, and the murder took place right in front of our residents, actually, in Adams Morgan area in Upper Northwest. And what was supposed to just be a robbery turned out to be a murder. My mother was slain to death. My sister and I both were there. We were walking home, and lo and behold, her purse was never taken. So, you know, there's a lot that feeds into that, but, you know, the community blanketed me, you know, and there was an outcry of support. And a trust fund was created in my mother's name by her bosses that allowed people an avenue to give their support by way of donations and ranging from a dollar all the way to $3,000. And that is where I was able to go to the best schools of our city. And so because my life was basically, you know, blessed, was created out of the giving spirit, my entire life has always been to give back, and that's what I'm just so excited about, being able to sow that seed. And so the event that we're doing next Friday on December 10th is going to be me doing that. I will not rest until I thank every single person that was on those pages. There's over 2,000 people who donated, who happened to actually be my current pastor, which is so wild because he certainly wasn't my pastor then. I'm just really excited. So I'm here to, you know, to thank back, you know, to those people who sowed that seed in my life. But I want to give people the platform to thank other people. I don't know if you guys have seen that commercial. I don't even know what it's advertising. But what happens is somebody, you know, picks up a scarf that someone else drops, and the next person witnesses it, and then they're moved to open up the door for a woman, you know, walking into the building. And then someone witnesses that, and then that person is moved to do something else. And so what I just want to give people is that platform and that encouragement to do a simple act of kindness, whether it be a smile, a hug, donating, giving to, you know, the homeless. You know, you can change the complete trajectory of someone's life by a small, simple act of kindness. So that's where we are.
Well, and, you know, that's just like giving back. The movie, Pass It On, I'm not sure if that's the name of the movie or not, but I do recall it, whereas you do a simple kind act for someone else, and the only thing that the person asks of you in return is to do it for someone else.
This is what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yeah. And you grew up in the Adams Morgan area. I grew up on 13th and Columbia Road, so it's not that far.
Shut up. Get out.
Yeah, 13th and Columbia Road, not too far from you, before I moved – down near Roosevelt in my later years, but I know what the lifestyle was like back then, because I believe we're almost the same age, or you're a little younger than I am. But I'm not going to divulge your age. Wrong for a male to do that to a female. But
it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're a nice young lady, and here's two things, ladies and gentlemen. The young lady, Miss Mullen, you know, she turned 10, and 20 years later of this anniversary is when this event is taking place. You know, you have such a rich history of things that are going on in your life, and the organization that the pastor and all those folks that helped you in the past, you've hunted them down, or I'm not going to say hunt them down, that sounds kind of like crazy, but you took this diary or this ledger, and you found all of these people to thank them. And your message to them is to just, you know, do it for someone else or something like that. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me what you're doing, especially with your newfound celebrity. You know, I think it's real.
Yeah, I just think that I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a passionate speaker, so sometimes I use words that people are like, oh, okay, well, that was a little far. But I'm telling you, I think it's a crime, you know, to be in a position of authority or the public and you not sow the proper seeds. Like, you know, if you're not giving, you're taking. You know, if you're not providing, then you're taking up space. And so I feel like, you know, I was very, I did the pageant. Only because I wanted. I'm not a pageant girl. I've never been in a pageantry system, and I'm going to tell you something. I've never even been to a pageant. And the very first one I went to, I competed in, and I won. And so God blessed me with that. But it was not because I needed to feel beautiful or I needed to have some type of camaraderie. It was only because I wanted a larger platform to get my message out. And
that's right.
You know,
use all avenues.
That's right, and you know, and that's, you know, that's the way of the world that we're in. You know, the title gets me in a few doors, and that's fine. But I think that, like you said, we've got to use it in the right way. And so, you know, there's fun things going on. I'll be at the Golden Scissors Awards tomorrow, and I get to make fun appearances. But it's the work that I get to do with young women and young kids, and that excites me. It's what gets me up in the day. And, you know, I'm just really excited that I've been able to, you know, to compete and represent this city. And I hope that, you know, people can look up and say, you know what, you know, that's something, let me do something as well. You know, maybe I won't compete, but let me, you know, maybe fund someone to compete, or, you know, let me support foundations. And, you know, that's another reason why, you know, I was prompted to start the CC Foundation, which is in honor of my mother's name, because I want not just a scholarship to be extended. That is what this whole event is about. Next Friday, I have extended the scholarship fund that was created for me, because, yeah, I went to the best schools and I'm well educated and all that's great, but if I can't make sure that other people behind me get the same thing, then what? It's nothing. It ends with me, and I'm not going to be here forever. I've got to create other people. There's other Camellias out there who have lost someone and who needs that. And so I intend to be that person to them. So I've extended the scholarship fund, and this scholarship fund will now benefit children in our D.C., Maryland, Virginia areas who have lost a parent to violence. And it's under the CC Foundation, and you guys can learn more about it. I hope you guys can come out to the event. I'm inviting the entire District, Maryland, Virginia area. The entire community will be there. It's December 10th. We're going to actually take it back to the place of the murder. We're going to be on Harvard Streets and Lanier Place. And, you know, what the devil meant for evil, I'm going to turn back into good. And I'm going to go right back to the place that she was murdered, and I'm going to make it a place of joy and hope versus a place of, you know, bad memories. And we're going to be there, and we're going to honor the angels in our life. And, you know, I challenge everyone to be there to support this event and honor the angels in their own lives. And if you can't be there, donate to the cause. It's at www.ccfoundation.org. That's C-E-C-E-Y foundation.org. You can learn more about the foundation. You can learn more about my story. You can learn more about the event on the 10th. But I'm telling you, you know, we can really change we can change things. I mean, really.
Obama.
We can really create. Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, we can truly create, like, you know, anybody that's under the sound of my voice right now, I mean, I really just really hope that they know that whatever it is that you're going through, however small, however large, you know, you can't change that. You know, you can't change the beginning, you can't change the past, but you can start right now and right today, and you can create yourself a new ending. You know, I could have been a million different outcomes, you know, having that tragedy in my life. I mean, because my mother being murdered actually orphaned me because my father had died earlier that calendar year. But, you know, God had other plans for me. And so, you know, I'm just telling people, you know, we can change that. You know, we can create our own life. And, you know, a lot of that comes from completing the past of tragedies that have happened. And that's the type of work that I do when I'm speaking to people, really showing them the strategies on how to do that.
That's, you know what, that is outstanding. You know, I know where you come from, just like Anthony Hamilton said, coming from where I come. I mean, I understand the struggle. We've got Black on the line, too, and I also have Jerry Steele on here. And, I mean, your message is powerful. The meaning behind what you're doing and that foundation is powerful. I'm going to get you to drop that again, but let me get Black in here so we can ask a question. I know Jerry has another question. Black, welcome to the show, young man. Oh, my bad. This is Ricky. Oh, God. This is my other co-host. I've got so many co-hosts. I'm like a Jamaican. I'm sorry, Camilla. This is another one of my co-hosts. It's actually one of my best friends.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Leave her alone, Ricky. She married. Don't put the voice on her. Don't put the voice on her.
That's how you do.
Yeah, that's right. I put you on Front Street. Anyway, let me bring Jerry back in. Well, do you have a question, Rick?
No, I'm just listening in. As you know, I'm on my Jamaican time right now, so I'm getting ready.
Yeah, Ricky's he's out Jamaican. He has 20 job, and he needs to work all job to pay his bills. So,
I can help you with that situation, too. We have to teach you how to work smarter and not harder, Ricky. You need to get with me.
I never work hard. That's one thing. I never work hard.
You're a lazy bum. You're lazy. You better talk to this young lady, see whatever type of job. Hey, Jerry.
Yes,
you have another
sir.
Follow-up question. You have another follow-up question.
Yes, Camilla, I wanted to you spoke about your sister briefly. How did she benefit, or I should say, how did she fare after this tragedy?
My sister is 7 years my junior, so at the time, you know, she was 3, and she just celebrated her 23rd birthday. So she has a different father. And so she was raised by her father and was raised for the most part in New York. So, you know, we have a close relationship, but we weren't raised in the same household. And so I know we've spoken plenty of times, and she stands behind me on what we're doing together. I intend to, you know, she's finishing up school, and so she's going to work the foundation with me, and I want to make sure that her vision is included on it. So she's very excited about, you know, what we're doing. But we definitely have our own, our own lens, if you will, of what happened. Because you have to understand, I was 10, and I had a relationship with my mother. She was 3, so she doesn't even remember. So she has lived a life. And she has lived the pain of not having a mother and not knowing one. Now, which is a dear and hard pain. Now, mine is I had one and I lost it, and I was there to see it. And so those are two very different pains, and they have to be dealt with two very different ways. And, you know, what I had to learn very early was that I can't measure someone else's threshold of pain by my own because, you know, somebody can be crushed by their parents just being divorced. You know, and for me, I can't fathom that because I'm like, hell, I don't care if they're divorced. Are they alive? Because I'd just like to see them. But sometimes people can't get over the fact that their parents are separating. And so it's not about measuring who had it worse. It's about understanding that it all just is. And how we, you know, respond to it is what we have to take hold of. And so I don't measure, you know, my pain against hers. And I mean, that's like asking somebody, is it better to have loved or, you know,
no,
or
not
is it love
at
lost
all.
Or never loved at all or whatever? It's like,
yeah,
come on. I mean,
yeah.
What are we talking about here? You know what I mean? So so we have very different scopes and understandings of the loss and things like that. And but we work together on it, and she still lives in New York. She lives in New York with her father, and, you know, she'll be down for the event. So really excited about her success and moving forward as a young woman.
Yeah, Vic, the name of that movie is Pay It Forward with Kevin Spacey.
Correct.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Because that was the movie. Yeah, because that was right after he did Usual Suspects. And I love Kevin Spacey as an actor. And, you know, I only brought the movie up because when I'm in the military, and I PCS to Germany, and my wife had befriended someone here. And she has the same thought process as you. I mean, I do too. I'm just not a big guy on it. But she would do all these wonderful things. Her name's Tina. And she would do so many things for my family, you know, that I couldn't do. Like, my schedule was crazy. So she would be out with my family doing things. And I said, how can I repay you? She's like, just pay it forward. Just pay it forward. That's all I'm asking. And her family are very wealthy. They're GS-16s or something like that, and that's very high in the government. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just normal people who have a little more than others but are humble and are willing to help others,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the folks that helped you and made you the person that you are, I think they're the same. They're the same type of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just brought that up. That's all. I'm just being me.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to me. I mean, when I was given that gift to see, like, the ledger of all those people that gave, I mean, let me tell you something. There was people who put a dollar in an envelope. I mean, I'm talking about there were letters of people who were giving money from their Social Security checks, you know. And, I mean, I'm telling you, I couldn't have been more moved and compelled to do something. Like, I wanted them to know that your money didn't go in vain. You know, I'm a fairly successful woman, you know, I've done right by what you know, the money was done right by, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give them that feeling that, you know, at the next time they have that urge to give, that they will. But also, you know, it opens up the opportunity for other people to say, you know what, I want to give, and I want to do right, and I want to, you know, put a blanket of support around somebody who's less fortunate. And just really, I mean, if we just all just did that one little iota, you know, of an act, you know, it's a compound effect. I don't know if you guys have ever read that book. It's one of my favorite books by Darren Hardy. He's the editor of Success Magazine, because I don't read entertainment magazines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read things that fill me. And so he has a book. I challenge you all to read it. I mean, it will bless your life. It's called The Compound Effect, and that's all it's talking about. You know, things, you know, small, simple acts, you know, compounded can make a huge difference when you look up. And that's all
yeah.
my life is. You know, people say, you know, Camille, you're so strong, or, you know, they say these great things about me, and I'm really happy that that's, you know, how I am portrayed and how I'm living my life. But all it was a compound effect of, you know, elementary school classmates giving me a smile and, you know, a school teacher that wanted to stay after school just a little bit extra to help. And, you know, a coworker who, you know, buys you lunch when they see you're doing having a bad day. And you just don't know how those small little acts, you know, can help, especially somebody
yeah.
who's going through something. And compounded on that, you come up 20 years later, I'm a woman who, you know, who can endure and who can now pay it forward. And so I just want to give that spirit to people to let them know that it works and it actually is true, it's an effect. And I want to, you know, give them that open opportunity and platform to do the same.
And that is outstanding, because that's what it's all about. I mean, especially when you have young children, I'm not sure of that part of your life, but you want to instill in the youth, especially the youth of today, you know, what it is to actually live in this world. And you might not have much, but you can appreciate it. And if somebody can help you out with, just like you said, giving you lunch or whatever it is, you never know how that's going to impact somebody's day. It could be the difference between someone actually committing suicide or somebody actually sitting down and talking about their issue. Or, I mean,
yeah.
I know that's a dramatic scale, but you know.
And here's the deal, you know, but you're exactly right, because here's the deal. We don't know who's thinking about committing suicide. I mean, look at the tragedy that we're having right now with this excessive bullying and things like that going on in our schools, and our kids are taking their lives, you know, literally. They're taking their own lives, and, you know, for the most part, we didn't have any indication that they were going to do it. So you don't know. And I can tell you from a position of strength, because I've had many nights, many of my darkest nights, and people look at me now. See, people see the end product. They see me now. They see the end product, and they see the strong person and things like that, but they don't know. They don't see the lashes on my back, and they don't see the journal entries of times when, oh, I thought I can't do this anymore, and I need to leave this place. I mean, I've had those thoughts, and so I understand what it's like, and I've had those thoughts, and I have not shared them before, so I know that, yeah, it could just be somebody giving you a smile that day that could make the difference of you saying, well, let me just try it one more day.
Yeah.
And we have to really think in that profound way and stop shrinking ourselves, thinking, oh, well, it's not that serious. No, it's all that serious, you know, because at the end of the day, our life, you know, is how it is. It's lived out in the relationships with other people. People think that they're these separate, you know, entities, like, you know, oh, it's just me and mine and it's my life. And as long as I take care of me and Tina and my family, then it's just me and it's my life. No, your life, there's you, okay, and there's Tina and there's your family. There's you. That's you. But your life is how it is lived out in the relationships with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so
folks,
the quality
that,
of your life is depends on the relationships that you're dealing with other people. And
well,
we have to be really cognizant of that, yeah.
I mean, I agree with you 110%, because a lot of folks say they don't have nothing to do. They're bored, you know, they don't have this person, that person to talk to, whatever. It's all about who you associate yourself with and how you associate yourself with others. I'm naturally an introvert. I come off as an extrovert, though. And a lot of folks, you know, they don't understand that. How can I be so jovial but so closed in? Because I have a select group of friends, very select group. And, you know, when something's going on in my life, Ricky is probably the first person I call. And, you know, I can talk to him because Ricky doesn't judge me. He talks about me, but he don't judge me, you know. and you know, Jay, he's becoming close. He's an older gentleman. He's like 56, 90, something like that. Anyway, but Jay will call me, and, you know, we'll talk about some things here and there, mainly about the show, but we talk about personal issues as well. But having that person there just to talk to you is very
right.
important, because
you know,
they're
up,
that buffer.
Yeah. You bring up a fabulous point. You know, one of my strategies that I speak about in my seminars, I let people know, you know, one of the top, the first thing that you have to do, the very first, well, after keeping God first, I'm a Christian woman, so that's first for me. But, you know, the very next thing after that is you have to choose your crew wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And while I have a ton of associates and I have hundreds and thousands of business partners in my business, and I have, you know, a lot of associates, and, you know, Miss Black America has bought quite a few acquaintances, I have a small selective circle of friends and confidants and counsel. Because here's what I know. You are the sum total of the five people that you hang around the most. And
correct.
If you show me your friends, I can show you exactly who you are, and I can actually tell you where you're about to be in the next 5 to 10 years if you just show me who you are, who you are hanging around. I can tell you exactly who you are. And, you know, if you can choose those people wisely, you see what I'm saying? You can now, you can begin to change the direction of your life. Because here's the deal, and I'm telling you, this is an experience fact. You know, you can take the five people that you are around the most, and I promise you, not only is your mindset within their same standards, you're in the same couple of $100 in your bank account as them as well. And that kind of goes into some of my entrepreneurial seminars, but I'm just telling you, you need to have, like you said, like, it's great. You know, you have Ricky, but you also have Jerry, who's a little older than you. You know, you can't just be the smartest and the brightest and the oldest and the best and the one who's known everything and been through everything in your group. Your value can't go up. If you're the smartest one, how can you grow?
Correct.
So, you know, I definitely tell people all the time, it's just exactly what you just said. You know, you all feed and nurture back into each other. You have to keep yourself emerged, not just surrounded, but emerged around the right people and the right circles, the right reading materials, you know, because that's how your life becomes, you know, abundantly blessed and successful, and you have promotion and progression. But it has to be because, you know, you're surrounded. Because if people ain't feeding into you, they're taking from you.
Correct. You're absolutely right.
I'm telling you, you're going to get me to start preaching it here in a second.
No. Actually, I'm going to ask my guys to have no questions for you because I know you have a busy schedule. And
I
don't know if you want to talk
go.
About it. So, and that's why I had you for 30 minutes, and I didn't expect that, but I appreciate it. So I'm going to ask my guys to have one more question for you, and then I'll let you go. Jared, you got another question for the nice young lady? Miss Black America.
No, I'm just sitting back here having a pleasure just listening to what she's got to say. She's got a lot of things good to say, so I'm just listening.
That's absolutely right. Ricky, what about you? I know you're in love right now, but come on, what you got?
Come on, man. It's the same thing. I'm definitely listening and enjoying what I'm hearing. And that event that you have down Harvard Street, definitely give me some information on that because that's in the neighborhood. You know, all of us are from the same neighborhood in Northwest D.C. So I definitely would love to go down there and take part in that event.
Oh, I would be so honored to have you guys as my guest there and, you know, to just, you know, to bring the people that are important to you in your life. And, you know, let's just bond together and let's just kind of just change our community one angel at a time. I mean, I really think we have the power to do that. And so I'm really excited. I mean, I'm just so thankful to, you know, that you guys had me on the show. I think, again, what you guys are doing, you know, is profound. I think that, you know, you got to be doing anything on a Saturday in the middle of the day. And I just think it's a great outlet for people and it's very informative to our community. So I'm just really thankful that I had the opportunity to be within you all's presence. But I really hope to see you Friday. I mean, I'm truly looking out for you guys to be there. People can get more information at the Foundation's webpage, and it's www.ccfoundation.org. That's C-E-C-E-Y, foundation.org. But the event is Friday, December 10th at 7:30. It's going to be a candlelight vigil. We're going to start promptly at 7:30. It's going to be on the corner of Harvard Street and Lanier Place, the place of the murder. And we're going to take the power back. And you guys can get more information if, you know, people want to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Camellia Miss DMV. And I try to keep people posted about where I'm going to be on that, too. So I got to run. You guys are the best.
No, thank you.
And I can't wait to be back on the show soon.
Oh, please. I was about to tell you that you have a standing invitation. All you got to do is, you know, shoot Black or myself an email and let us know that you want to come back on and be the guest. That's fine. Or you can just call in and listen from time to time. We talk about sports. We talk about a lot of different things.
That would be great.
So we greatly appreciate you. All right. Let me give you this real quick. That was
Thank you so much. Okay, you guys.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. That was Miss Black America DC, Camilla Collier Mullins. Bye bye. All right, Miss Mullen has officially left the building, and I greatly appreciate her coming on and Black doing the thing, getting her on the show. I found what she was saying to be very insightful and uplifting and stuff like that, guys. Tell me, do I still have her? Yeah, I do. Let me let her go. Talk to me, guys, about what it is that you felt from what she was talking, Jerry, because I know you got to go real quick, Jerry.
Yeah, I was truly inspired to what she was saying, and I couldn't get enough. I couldn't listen enough. I mean, I could listen to her for as long as she wants to speak. She's got a ton of energy, and she's a very inspiring speaker. And she's speaking. You can tell she's speaking from the heart. So it's when someone's talking like that, you want them to keep talking and inspire you as well.
I agree. I kind of feel bad interrupting her, but I was trying to bring some correlation to some stuff. But yeah, dynamic young lady. I mean, after reading her story and listening to the YouTube piece and going to the website, which again, ladies and gentlemen, is CECEYfoundation.org. Going there and checking out her background and stuff like that, I'm very glad that Black made the connection. Ricky, I hope you and Black can make it on that on the 10th. and represent us. If you can't, I understand, but I hope you do.
Just like Jerry said, you know, it's you know me anyway. I'm always about anything positive going on for the city, and her story, you know, I heard about it back then when it actually happened, the tragedy with her mom, but then once it resurfaced, because they showed it on the news not too long ago, once it resurfaced and they were talking about, you know, they had her on there about being Miss Black America, D.C., it really started to get me more aware of it. And then her whole story anyway is an inspiring piece. And, you know, the way the young people are today, truthfully, this is somebody that they do need out in our community as it is to look up to. And if everybody can come out to this event, it'll definitely be a blessing, not only for her, but just for the city as a whole. You know what I'm saying? Just to shed a positive light on things, because there's so much going on that's negative around here now. And that's one thing that I love. And truthfully, I'm glad Black did bring her on the show, just to show our listeners, yeah, we on here, you know, we always talk about sports and joke around and this and that, but you got to look at the name. It's called Fantasy Sports and Politics. It ain't just sports on here. We do everything, you know.
Yeah.
I'm definitely glad you did bring her on the show.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about it. We're 14 when this actually took place, because we're about 4 years older than the young lady. Jerry's about 50 years older, but it's okay. But I'm going to keep drawing at you, Jerry, just because I love you. But you know, back then we were in middle school or junior high school. That's what it was called back in the day. And during that time, the crack boom era, there was a lot of crazy things going on. A lot of crazy things. And unfortunately, she was a victim of this, but she's taking this tragedy and turned it into triumph with the help of many, many folks in her life. And she's going to celebrate those folks December 10th at Harvard and Lanier Street in Northwest D.C. Go to CECEYFoundation.org to find out more information about the things she's talking about, like her inspirational speaking, entrepreneurship, stuff like that. Rick, and she says she will help you out, Rick, so I think you better check that out, Slim. Better check that out. I'm serious.
I'm all about anything. You know, it's definitely a blessing.
Since you guys are from D.C. at that time, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't D.C. called the murder capital of the world?
Yeah, it was.
At that time, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Now they still try to put that notion out there. But that's why I say, with her story and things that she's doing, and then it's not just her. It's a lot of positive stuff that's going on under the radar in the city that people just don't know about. You know, that's that label that, of course, we're trying to get off of our back. And I say we because I love my city. I'm going to always be a part of my city regardless of where I am in the world.
Yep.
I love anything that's going on in D.C. that puts a positive light on it. The way that did, I mean, we can sit around and complain about how they, quote-unquote, are trying to drive people out of the city, how this is going wrong, how that ain't going right, but no one ever, because of that label from back in the day, no one ever focuses on the positive. And this is one thing that I believe, truthfully, is going to blow up into a big thing. That's why I said she has a lot of back behind her, believe it or not. And this is a great start. They've had a whole lot of candlelight visuals throughout the city, but this one here, it can definitely take off just by certain things that she's doing. So I'm going to try my best to at least get off of work just to be down there and support that cause. Like I said, it ain't but down the street, because we all lived in the same neighborhood. The five circle of friends that Big talked about, we all have that same circle. And we're nothing but 5 minutes away, you know. So to support this would be way better than just to go to work for another day.
I agree, gentlemen. We've got about 51 minutes left alive there. So what I want to do is, and I know I don't have Jerry that much longer, and I know, Rick, you're on your lunch break. But
I'm not at work yet. I'm just getting prepared. I got to go to work later, but I was just, every now and then I'm going to be in and out making a few calls and whatnot.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to transition into what we do here. I apologize to my MMA fans. We're not going to do MMA today unless I really have if I have time. But with the time I do have, let's get to Jerry and Rick's picks. Are you ready?
Are you ready for some football?
Let's get it on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to do my bull thing today. Let's talk about this NFL schedule. Since we're talking about the city, D.C., let's kick it off right there, all right? Let's start with the Washington Redskins heading to New Meadowlands Stadium. Jerry, you're in the area. What's the weather like, and what do you look at this game? I know you don't think the Skins are going to win anything because you made a huge bet with me, so we already know you're going to pick the Giants, but go ahead. Let's talk.
Well, I see a very competitive game right now. Actually, it's an NFC East a game, so it's always very competitive. You play Eli Manning, you play Kevin Boss is going to play a huge role in this game. Also play Mario Manningham. In fact, you can also play both running backs in this game. On the other side, what a mess. I hate to say it like that, but what a mess. You play Donovan McNabb, and who's the running back? Who knows? That's a Mike Shanahan deal. Who knows who's going to be the running back is? And also, you could play. I would play Anthony Armstrong. I think he may be emerging. Santana Moss is a little banged up. So I think Anthony Armstrong is going to garner more and more targets and more receptions from Donovan McNabb along with Chris Cooley. So, but I like the Giants in this game, not because we have a wager, but I just like the Giants in this game. And I think it's going to be a little competitive, but I like the Giants, and it should be probably 40 degrees, maybe not even 50 degrees in clear skies. So it's going to be a typical early winter or a late fall type of game, an NFC East type weather.
All right. So, of course, Jerry says he's not picking them because of our bet. He just paid off his previous bet, so he's off the hook for that. But we all know the real deal. He don't want to lose more money to me. Rick, what you got?
You did get that bet.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So to make sure.
All right, I got you. Rick, what you got?
Well, once again, I have to come to people with heavy hearts because they're just not doing what they're supposed to do. And this game here, the Giants don't have their star receivers in. And Hakeem Nicks and Steve Smith, both of them are out. But at the same token, the Redskins have no LeVon Landry and no Carlos Rogers, even though we haven't had Carlos for 2 years. So now I've... They're giving the Skins seven, I believe. I have to go with the Giants, unfortunately.
Damn you, Ricky.
Giants Stadium, huh?
I said, damn you, Ricky.
I can't help it, Vic. I told you, I got to be a realist, you know? If you got Cooley, play him.
I give it to you.
If you got McNabb, play him with caution. As far as the other side, I would go with the running back, Jacobs and Bradshaw. Play them. Play Eli, but Eli is, I got a feeling he's going to be on his back a lot. He doesn't have the receivers out there like that, except Manningham. And if Manningham's the only thing they got, we can cover him. So, but the Giants will win. I got to go like that. The Giants are going to win.
All right. In the interest of fairness, I will be fair. Let's break it down real quick. Okay, Washington Redskins are decimated on both sides of the ball. Their leading tackler, LeVon Landry's out. I'm surprised he's not going to make an appearance, especially since he really, really has an issue with Brandon Jacobs. The strong suit of the Washington Redskins defense this year has been their run game. The passing game has been very, very weak. Like Ricky said, pretty much all of the Giants receivers are gone. They're on IR. They're hurt. They're doing something other than playing in this game. So you look at Hagan. Hagan is up and down. They scaled back some of the offense for him so they can get the plays out and whatnot. I look for a heavy dose of Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. Bradshaw's at Achilles heel because he can get out on the perimeter and just take off. I do believe that it's going to be a lot closer than most people think. I think Washington can eke it out, mainly because of Donovan McNabb's history against the New York Giants. I think he's had the most success against the Giants, whereas he's 11-7 or something like that. So Donovan should have a fairly good game. Santana he's up and down. He's out of boom and bust pretty much. So I think he'll have a very good game this week going against Tyrus Thomas, I believe his name is. But Jerry's right. Anthony Armstrong is looking more and more like Donovan's go-to guy now, along with Chris Cooley. And if you haven't noticed, Fran Davis has been getting a lot of looks. If you have a double tight end starting system in your league, start him. I'm telling you. He's been doing pretty well as of late. But I picked the Skins win by a Graham Gano field goal. And in turn, Joe owe me more money. Let's move on. Next game. We're going to go to LP Field in Tennessee with Jacksonville Jaguars take on the Tennessee Titans. Courtland Finnegan still in the game after getting his butt whooped by Andre Johnson. This is actually turning out to be a battle for survival for the Tennessee Titans and a battle for supremacy with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jerry, how do you see this going?
This is a very tough game. Jacksonville surprised me this year by playing a lot better on the road than they had previously. Going to Tennessee... God, I hate to do it. I think Tennessee's in pretty much a little disarray. Chris Johnson is not even close to what he was doing last year. You got to play Chris Johnson quite naturally. I don't think he's going to do that well this game. He's probably going to get some decent yardage, maybe a touchdown. But I think they're going to have to rely on Kerry Collins because Jacksonville is going to stack the box against Chris Johnson. So, I can't play Kerry Collins. He's too injury prone. He's just too interception prone. He's too mistake prone. You got to play Chris Johnson. There's really no one else. I wouldn't even play Randy Moss in this. Randy Moss is a little dump. Is a dump for me now. I have him on my roster, and I'm about to play before the weekend's out. Dump Randy Moss because I don't think he's worth anything right now. He dropped quite a bit in rankings. You play Maurice Jones-Drew, I think he's going to have a huge day. David Garrard is playing out of his mind. And Mercedes Lewis. Tennessee's a little vulnerable against the tight end. But I like Jacksonville. I hate to say it. I don't normally pick Jacksonville on the road. But in this, I have to pick Jacksonville. But I think Jacksonville is going to prevail, and they're playing a lot better than Tennessee is.
Okay. All right. Catch a breath, young man. It sounds like you were running up some stairs or something. But, hey, one thing I would like to say, I agree with what Jerry just said now. I thought that the young starter was going to start again. I know Kerry Collins was back. But if that's the case, you start Nate Washington, folks. Nate Washington has been blowing it up like he's in a bathroom or something. So I would start Nate Washington in that situation as well. I think Chris Johnson has his coming out party this week, honestly. So he might get two touchdowns or so. I think that's happening. I think that's possible. But if Kerry Collins starts, I believe that this is going to be a Tennessee win. But if not, I see Jacksonville taking the W. So that's what I got. What you got, Rick?
Hey, Dick.
You gotta go. I disagree
with
Rick.
You guys.
Hold on, Rick. Hold on. You gotta go, Jerry.
I'm about to go into the stadium and watch this game, so I gotta let you guys go. Good luck this weekend. And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, brother.
Man.
Later.
Bye.
All right, Rick, go ahead.
I can't disagree with y'all. You know, Jacksonville definitely looked like the stronger opponent. You got no Mike Sims-Walker out there, but it's going to be a thing with Jones-Drew because Tennessee's defense is not like it used to be. They've let a lot of people run on them, and their pass defense is just, to me, awful. So you still got Mike Thomas and Mercedes Lewis out there, even though Mike Sims-Walker isn't out there to take off pressure. Chris Johnson, he's going to have a decent day. Kerry Collins more than likely is the starter, so Nate Washington would be a good play. But at the same time, with no Randy Moss in sight, well, one thing I did want to say, too, Randy Moss, if Kerry Collins does play, believe it or not, Randy Moss is going to play. He's going to show up this week. He's going to get at least his first touchdown with Tennessee. He's going to get at least one. If Kerry Collins doesn't have a He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't do what Rusty Smith does with the stand back there and get scared. He's going to definitely throw it up. It's going to be a close game, but I could see Jacksonville coming out there and getting a W. They've done a lot of surprising things this year ever since that Hail Mary that the guy tipped back to Mike Thomas.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win this game.
Okay. All right. I mean, anything's possible. Hail Mary proved that, right? But we'll see. I think there was something to what Jerry was saying last week about Randy Moss getting ignored by Kerry Collins and Vince Young. But we'll see what Kerry Collins does with Randy Moss this week. Let's head on to Ford Field. Shy takes on Detroit. The Bears are leading the NFC North. Detroit, they don't even know what running back they're going to play this week. How do you see that game, Rick?
I can see Chicago having a tough time with Detroit, even though Sean Hill is out for the season with a broke finger. But they're going to pull it out. I like Detroit's defensive makeup. They've had a very surprising defense, even though it's not a top 10, but they've done things the right way, better than they've done in the past. Like I said, Sean Hill is out, no Matt Stafford, so now the third string that lost the helmet is coming in. Kyle Vandenbosch on the other side probably won't play, but their defense is still going to be all right. Dalvin Bass, he's going to get his 2 cents in there. On Chicago's side, Forte, I don't know. I can see the Forte of old coming out of here, the one that's been starting the season and getting 20 and 30 yards a game. Cutler may have a difficult time just because of the simple fact you got the big great man on the other side of the ball for Detroit and Ndamukong Suh, who nobody did. Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Detroit by a field goal. I'm going to definitely give him that.
Wow. All right. Well, right now, another Super Bowl favorite is scheduled not to make the playoffs, and that's the Green Bay Packers. Surprisingly, the Chicago Bears are leading the NFC North, and with their remaining schedule, they just might win it. I think that Detroit is just what the doctor ordered for Matt Forte. Jay Cutler might be doing a lot more dump-offs as opposed to going downfield with Greg Olsen and Mike Knox. So I'm going to give to Chicago, and I'm going to say, play Jay Cutler, play Greg Olsen, play Matt Forte. I'm not sure about Knox, man. Devin Hester might even return one. I got a feeling he's going to return one because he hasn't done it in a couple of games. But the fact that you don't know who's going to start in Detroit at quarterback or run, well, you know who's going to start. It's going to be Drew Stanton. But the fact that you don't know who's going to be the running back, whether it's going to be Maurice Morris, Jahvid Best, or I believe his name is Mike Brown, it concerns me. I don't care if you got Brandon Pettigrew and Calvin Johnson. It doesn't bother me because the quarterback is not top notch right now. And this actually goes into one of the predictions that a predictor made. He said at some point Drew Stanton was going to take Matthew Stafford's job. It's happening. Hey, it's by injury, but it's happening.
Yeah.
But right now, I would only play Megatron and Pettigrew. just because of the name factor, and if they're high picks for you, at least Calvin Johnson is a high pick for you. So I will go that route. All right. But like I said, I'm picking the Bears. Moving on to the next game. Let's go to Mall of America Field. Buffalo takes on the Minnesota Vikings. Brett Favre said this is it regardless. He's not coming back. He said don't even worry about it, blah, blah, blah. The investigation into Penisgate is pretty much done. You know, he admitted to sending some text messages but not the pictures. Adrian Peterson's hobbled. Buffalo's coming off a crushing defeat, which they should have beaten Pittsburgh. And your boy, why so serious? Steve Johnson, he's looking to make amends. Talk to me, Rick. Tell me what's going on.
Hey, you said the magic word right there, and I'm going to tell you why Buffalo is going to win this game.
Woo!
Number one, Steve Johnson. Why so serious? Did drop the ball last week. He dropped some tears last week also on the post-game conference. But that being said, this man will not drop the ball this week against Minnesota. Their pass defense is horrible. Horrible compared to last year. Fitzpatrick is going to have a great day, and they're playing in the dome. Fred Jackson, the one who should have started the season, who should have been the starter from jump, good day, because Minnesota's run defense isn't the best either. They're number five, but they're going to be so worried about Steve Johnson and Lee Evans that Fred's going to get his yard regardless. Fitzpatrick, he's having an undercover season. He's on pace to get possibly 3,000 yards with these last four games in the mix. He's on pace for it. On Minnesota side, Adrian Peterson is a question. Will he or won't he play? I got him playing, but if you got him in your league, I don't think you need to play him. Buffalo's run defense has stepped it up. I'm telling you. I think if you got anybody, play Gerhardt. Play him. Buffalo's run defense has stepped up. Percy Harvin, he's also a question. The migraines have came and struck him again. But between him and Sidney Rice, I definitely would give Harvin the edge just because he's been their playmaker all year. I'm giving this to Buffalo at least by a touchdown.
All right. I mean, that was surprising. I didn't think that was going to take place, but you are Ricky. The gypsy.
I'm telling you.
But anyway. I kind of agree with you on the fact that they're in the dome and it's a good game for both teams because it's a fast track. However, I think Adrian Peterson is going to play. He might not finish the game. One wrong hit and his season might be over with. But that's why I think Brett Favre is going to excel. Because the pass defense for Buffalo is horrid. I look for Sidney Rice to have his coming out game. Vishante Seiko is becoming a bigger part of Minnesota's game, so look for him. Toby Gerhardt is a good, safe start today or for this game because with AP's ankle, you know, you never know. That's Will and Toby Gerhardt might have to come in and sub a lot more than he normally would. So, hey, you might want to try that route. On the opposite side of the ball, Steve Johnson should have another good game. I don't think he's going to have the drops inside the dome. At least he shouldn't. That secondary of Minnesota's is not that good. So Fitzpatrick should have a very good game. And I see Fred Jackson probably scoring off of a couple of screens. Maybe because you know, he's shifty, he's big, and he can run. He can run folks over. It's just a natural fact. That's what he does. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't think Buffalo's going to win the game. I think Minnesota's going to win the game probably by even 10 points. That's what I'm looking at.
Man.
I mean, you got them winning, so I'm like, oh, wow on that.
Buffalo. Hey. Buffalo almost beat the number one, number two defense in the league last week, and they took them to overtime. All the overtime teams that Buffalo played against, they have a top 10 defense. Buffalo, at some point, they're the only team, like they said, that has gotten better as the season went on. When those first three games were done, everybody knew Buffalo was going to look like Detroit with an 0-16 record. Then all of a sudden, you start to see the development. You start to see the growth. Once Marshawn Lynch left, you start to see Chan Gailey's plan come together. I'm telling you, if Buffalo wheels off four wins, don't be surprised.
Okay. You're telling me it might happen, so it might happen. But let's go to Paul Brown Stadium in the Natty, Cincinnati, where the New Orleans Saints take on your hapless Bungles, not Bengals, Bungles. Talk to me about what Carson Palmer's going to do against that secondary of New Orleans.
Let me tell you, New Orleans secondary, surprisingly, is number three in the league. Carson Palmer is also surprisingly the wash-up of the league. This man has not found his Pro Bowl form that he had back in 04, 05. He hasn't found it. I don't see Cincinnati doing nothing against them. But on the flip side of it, Carson Palmer has stepped up against teams that pass against him. Against New England on the road, he threw for 300. Against Atlanta on the road, he threw for over 400. All these games he's thrown great, they've been on the road. They are at home this week. So New Orleans is going to come up there and prove that they're going to keep Cincinnati at bay. But remember the weather factor. It's going to be cold. It's cold in D.C. right now. It's like 40 degrees. I'm pretty sure on Sunday in Cincinnati it's going to be 20. Drew Brees and those guys, they're going to have a tough time. But just like Cincinnati has no offense, they also have no defense. So look for the New Orleans Saints of last year to come out, score about 35, maybe 38. Look for Cincinnati of this year to stay out there and score about 10, maybe 17 points. Don't play T.O. because he's not going to do it. You can play Chad, but I don't give him too much either. New Orleans wins this game hands down, easily.
Okay. Well, I kind of agree with you on who's going to win because the return of Pierre Thomas is scheduled to happen this week. So if he's out there in your waiver wire, folks, might want to pick him up. If he's not coming back this week, it's going to be definitely next week because he's had a 4 weeks practice, and they're going to try to ease him back into the fold along with Reggie Bush. The New Orleans Saints are peaking at the right time. You know, they're coming into their stride towards the end of the season, getting ready for that playoff push. They are outside. They are in the element in Cincinnati. As you said, Cincinnati has not been that good this year. And I'm looking for Lance Moore to have a monster game, honestly, against their nickel cornerback of Cincinnati. So I'm saying start him if you got him. Also, I'm really, really going to tell folks this, and I mean it. Bench Cedric Benson. Okay, where you picked him at? Bench him. He's not worth it. He's not the Cedric Benson of a year ago. He's the Cedric Benson of the Chicago Bears. A waste right now. He needs to get ready for the next season.
Just
so,
like I told you at the beginning, he's got to do it 2 years in a row to make me a believer.
Well, he didn't. But here's another deal I'm looking at. The Ocho T.O. show, it's only going to be on for one season, and so is this duo. Chad may or may not, you know, do well this week, but Carson is trying to get the ball to field for many more opportunities than Chad. And T.O. starting to talk more. Not a good sign. Not for me anyway. I think New Orleans wins this game hands down. It's going to be a laugher. Let's move on to the next game. All right. Arrowhead Stadium. No, excuse me. Let's go to Lambeau Field, where San Francisco takes on Green Bay. Now, Brian Westbrook is starting, but he will be spelled by Anthony Dixon. Troy Smith is a reliable quarterback. But against Green Bay's defense, I honestly don't see San Fran doing much of anything. I have Green Bay winning this, going away, and Aaron Rodgers, 300 yards passing. Greg Jennings, two touchdowns. I even see Brandon Jackson getting into the end zone. I honestly see that. So I got Green Bay in this game. What you got, Rick?
I got Green Bay winning, but I don't think that it's not going to be an easy task. It's not going to be by the hands of Brandon Jackson, of course. He's going to get decent yardage. I don't have him getting in the end zone because San Fran still has that great run defense. Troy Smith, he's decent. He's manageable. That's all they want. They want somebody to manage the game because they can still win that division out there. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, 300. That's if you don't believe that, something's wrong with you. Because that's all they do in Green Bay. They throw the ball. So look for Jennings to get his. Look for Donald Driver to finally get some decent yardage, maybe even a touchdown out of it. On the flip side, Westbrook is supposed to start. He does have a little ankle, but he'll be out there. Keep your eye on Anthony Dixon. I pumped this guy up. This guy is still the one that has led the preseason with yardage for running backs. He's the same type of back that Glenn Coffey was. If this guy comes out there and does his thing this week, look for him to start next week. The guy is a beast. He's a beast.
He is. He's a beast. I don't think he's... Go ahead. Go ahead, Rick.
No, that's Green Bay wins. Hands down, Green Bay wins that game.
Okay. I think Anthony Dixon is the future with Frank Gore being so injury-prone. And that's a good guy to have in a keeper. I would say get Anthony Dixon and get him ready for next year because he's going to split a lot of carries next year with Frank Gore. I pretty much can guarantee you that. All right, next game, Arrowhead Stadium, where the surprising AFC West leading Kansas City Chiefs takes on their AFC West rival, the Denver Broncos. This is going to be a good game, honestly. I think Kyle Orton's going to have a good game. I think Dwayne Bowe and Matt Castle come down from their cloud. I'm not saying Denver's defense is any good, but I think that Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones will get a heavy workload in this game because it's that weather. It's that time of year because Kansas City is built to run the ball. I don't think you're going to get high production out of Bowe and Castle. Moriaki might get another touchdown catch from him, but I think this is a Thomas Jones and Jamaal Charles type game. I also see Kyle Orton doing a pretty decent job, maybe a couple touchdowns. Brendan Lloyd, leading receiver in yards in the NFL. Who would have thought it? So you look at him, you look at Jabbar Gaffney, and the forgotten one, no Sean Marino. He might even get a touchdown in this game. But I see this going down to the wire with Kansas City winning with a Brian Suckup, Mr. Irrelevant, kicking a field goal and winning the game. What you got, Rick?
Oh, wow. I don't have it that close. And I say that because the infamous no handshake at the last game when the coach from Kansas City, Todd Haley, refused to shake Josh McDaniels' hand. And if it was me, I'd have did the same thing. But you have to play the game. If you can't stop them, why not? Keep scoring. Denver owns it when it comes to the passing yards per game between these two, but Kansas City owns it when it comes to rushing yards game per game between these two. Matt Castle's been on a tear lately. Start him. If you have him, start him. Kyle Orton has also been on a tear. Start him. On the running side, like Big said, Charles and Jones, ridiculous. Charles is over 1,000 yards. Jones is doing what Jones does. Start both of them. Moreno, we'll see. That's all I can say about him. If you got him, play him at your own risk. On the receiving side, Lloyd and Bowe. Start them both. This is going to be a good game. But watching what Denver did last week against San Diego, that's what I see Kansas City doing this week. And that 50 50-odd point game that they played against Denver before, it'll be on Kansas City's side this week. I look at Kansas City blowing Denver out just to prove a point.
Woo.
Just to prove a point that Josh McDaniels is not that good. With a 3-8 record or whatever he's sporting right now, Kansas City is going to rub his face in the dirt. I look for Kansas City to blow them up.
Well, and I agree with you, but I don't think it's going to be through the air. I think it's going to be more of a Jamal Charles, Thomas Jones running the ball down your mouth, and you can't stop the run. So we're going to keep running and scoring on the ground. I honestly believe that Thomas Jones and Jamal Charles are going to score some big-time points this week. I really do. But, hey, let's move on to the next game, shall we? Let's head on down to Sun Life Stadium, where Cleveland is the city where they come from. So, rhyme, ride, the return of Brandon Marshall for the Miami Dolphins, and the surprising Peyton Hillis running over everybody. I don't know why they try to get in his way. He's the new Mike Allstott. So, yeah, Jake DeLome returning at quarterback for Cleveland Browns for second week in a row while Colt McCoy recuperates, going against a Miami Dolphins team that's going to revert back to Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. How do you see this game happening, Mr. Dolphin fan?
This is a close game. Surprisingly, the Dolphins have as many run yards per game as they do. Cleveland owns that by not more than 11, 12 yards. They're so close, but the key factor is going to be that pass. They get back, like you said, Brandon Marshall. He played last week, but this week he's going to come out because Cleveland isn't that great against the pass. Chad Henne, once again, he approached 300 yards last week, which was outstanding for him. So look for him and Brandon Marshall to do their thing. But Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown will be the X factor because I want to see how much they use that that Wildcat again. I kind of look for the Dolphins to pull this out, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but Peyton Hillis isn't going to get 100 yards in this game. The Dolphins have a great run defense, better than what I expected. Don't look for Peyton Hillis to do too much. He's going to get a touchdown, but he's not getting 100 yards. They're going to be forced to throw that ball. And I think Jake DeLome is going to start this game.
Yeah, he is.
So look for the Dolphins to win this game at least by a touchdown. At least a touchdown. Ronnie Brown, surprisingly, he's going to have a good game. It's going to hurt me, but he's going to have a good game.
Yes, and guess who plays you this week?
Yeah. As long as I got Thomas Jones and Matt Castle, I'm confident. Very good.
Whatever, Slim. Whatever. We need to talk about that this week. I don't want to talk about it until after the game's over with. Anyway, shut up. Anyway, I agree with Ricky's analysis here. I don't like the fact that Jake DeLome is starting quarterback for Cleveland. I just don't. Peyton Hillis will get his touchdown, and he surprisingly is one of the better fantasy players as well as all-around running backs in the NFL this year. But with Chad Henne coming back to the starting lineup by default, not because he won the job, but by default, I look for them to employ the run more and let Brandon Marshall get his touches, but not at the expense of killing the clock and making this a sloppy game. What I mean by that is just run. And I look for Ronnie Brown to have 120-plus yards on the ground, maybe even a touchdown or two. Miami's going to win the game. It's just a matter of how much they're going to win by. I think Brandon Marshall gets in the end zone as well. But that's my thoughts on that. I would drop Cleveland's defense. I don't know if you've noticed any trends, but in fantasy leagues, people have dropped Cleveland's defense this week because they have a harder matchup. So there you go. Let's stay in the AFC and let's go to Qualcomm Stadium where the Oakland Raiders take on the San Diego Chargers. San Diego has the number one ranked defense as well as the number one ranked offense. Phillip Rivers has made things happen without real weapons. He got Vincent Jackson back for approximately five plays until he lost him for the season. Antonio Gates is, he's making it. He's not 100%, but he's making it. And Quentin Michael, and not Quentin Michael, I forget the running back. Mike Tolbert is vulturing a lot of runs now. He's vulturing a lot of runs. So I like that look, but I don't like it against Oakland's run defense. I think this is going to be a laugher because I don't think Jason Campbell's going to survive San Diego's pass rush. And San Diego wins again. What you got, Rick?
I gotta agree. I'll give you San Diego, and it's gonna be on the heels of Phillip Rivers and Mike Tolbert. Like you say, Phillip Rivers is pulling a Tom Brady this year. He doesn't have weapons that are big name, but he's getting the job done with what he has, and they're really on a hot streak right now. Darren McFadden has all of a sudden came back to earth. So look for Michael Bush and Darren McFadden. Truthfully, I think Bush is going to have more yards than him this week. I just got to feel it. San Diego's got a great all-around defense against the run and against the pass. Like you say, Jason Campbell, I see him getting at least I'll give him two touchdowns because they're going to need it to keep up with San Diego. That guy, Jacoby Ford, is surprising a lot of people. He's definitely surprising some people. Look for him to get a touchdown. Michael Bush will probably get one. Darren McFadden might get one. And
wow, that's 21 right there, Slim.
Right, that's it. Because Jason's going to throw one to one of the running backs, and then Jacoby Ford gets his one. That's it. San Diego cuts him off after that. I look for San Diego to do to pull a Kansas City on them also. Put up about 40 points because Oakland's not. I can't see it.
All right.
So you know it's going to be big.
Okay. All right, let's go down to Quest Field, or over to Quest Field, I should say. And we got Carolina taking on Seattle. Now, this would have been another game Jerry would have owed me money on because I think Seattle's going to win this game. But Carolina comes in all beat up. They get back Jonathan Stewart full-time at the full-time running back. Goodson has done a decent job. But it's Jonathan Stewart's show now. Steve Smith, your bench. Only person I'm playing on the offensive side of the ball for Carolina is Jonathan Stewart because Seattle's run defense is not that good. But they play really well at home. Seattle plays really well at home, and they're tied for the division lead of the they're in the lead for the division. No, they're tied with St. Louis for the division lead of the NFC West, and I think they get another win this week by beating up on Carolina. What do you got?
This is one of those laugh-em games for me because Seattle is surprisingly okay. I never expected them to do much because Pete Carroll doesn't impress me, but he's got a piece of the division lead right here, and if he wins this game and the rest of his division goes down, they'll be in sole possession. I see Carolina kind of giving them a fight. They don't have nothing to lose. You know, yeah, Jonathan Stewart's back, but he's still got a head injury. He did good last week, but they're not going to let Mike Goodson not play. This guy is their best receiver out of the backfield. He led all receivers last week in yards and catches. He's going to get a good chunk of the pie. And Seattle can't defend nothing. They can't defend the pass. They can't defend the run. Same thing for Carolina, but Carolina's defense is a little better than Seattle. Not against the run, though. So look for Marshawn Lynch to finally hit 100 yards with Seattle. Finally.
That's what folks are saying as well, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's finally going to get 100 yards. I look for Hasselbeck and Obama to get on them. I look for them to light it up, but I only see the Seahawks winning by three. Only by three. It's going to be a tough game for them, but they're going to win it by three.
Okay. Well, we're going to speed this up because we got 12 minutes of live air left. So let's go to Atlanta and Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay is one of those surprise teams this year. Atlanta's leading the division, as I predicted, in preseason. Who wins this match, man?
I say Atlanta. Tampa Bay's got a good defense. They got a good all-around team, and LeGarrette Blount has them looking great. They look like Tampa Bay of old, powerful running, decent passing. But this is Atlanta's game. They're just too fast.
Okay. Well, here's a bad signal for me for Tampa Bay. They're going to be wearing the creamsicle jerseys. That's never good.
I bet they are.
Atlanta beat them barely in the Georgia Dome. Now they're going to Tampa Bay. I think the burner lets loose a little bit and gets 100-plus yards rushing. Atlanta wins in a laugher. This is my laugher game. Got Atlanta play all usual suspects. Even ride that Freeman Express like Black would do. All right, let's go on to University of Phoenix Stadium. You've got the surprising St. Louis Rams taking on the also surprising Arizona Cardinals. Sam Bradford's been playing out of his mind, but when he's away and not at home, it is not a good story. Although I think St. Louis is a all-together better team, Arizona gives them a really, really good push. And I'm going to say Arizona's going to win this game, even though I think Bradford's going to go for 340, 350. So that's my pick. What you got?
Hey, I'm all St. Louis. Jerry told you and I told you, I love Sam Bradford. That guy is great. That's who I wanted the Redskins to pick. I've been preaching and preaching. I don't care about a shoulder injury or nothing. St. Louis wins this game. You think Derek Anderson went off last week? Watch this week after St. Louis beats them up. I can't see Arizona doing it. Steven Jackson, he gets 100 yards for me. Thank goodness. I need that. And Bradford, yeah, I can agree. 300. Nobody is looking at LaRon Robinson. He's back. He did 5 catches last week for over 80 yards. Look at him this week. Once again, Brandon Gibson, he's not going to be out there too much longer as the secondary man in Amendola.
All right. Well, you pick St. Louis, I got Arizona. Now, another big, big game, which actually can be a spoiler game. I'm not rooting for the Cowboys, never will, ever in life again. But they take on the Indianapolis Colts, who are very, very, very banged up. And Dallas, it seems like they're coming together. They're playing harder. They lost last week in a tough game. But I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win this game. What you got?
Oh, God. I'm done.
I mean, the only reason I'm doing that is because Indy is so banged up.
Well, you know, I got to give you one because I did it 1 week, too. But, Indy's banged up. But they're getting Donald Brown back. You still got to worry about Reggie Wayne, even though he hasn't looked as Reggie Wayne would and should look. And they have the surprisingly good Jacob Tandy out there playing Dallas Clark. So I'm going to look for Indy to keep pace and come out there and do the Cowboys in. I can't see the Cowboys winning this game, no. Let's go Colts.
I agree with you. I hope that the Colts win. But I think the Cowboys are going to win, unfortunately. All right, 2 more games and 7 minutes of live air left. Pittsburgh goes to Baltimore. You got a broken foot, Ben Roethlisberger, and a suspect offensive line taking on a ravenous Ravens defense that might be without DeJuan Landry. So Nakamura is looking like he's going to start. But how do you see this game?
This is going to be the best game of the week. The best. This is a division game. The Ravens took the first one. Ben Roethlisberger has the quote-unquote broken foot. And the Ravens are hurting in the secondary as usual, but Ed Reed, the general, has taken his rightful place. Truthfully,
I still am not a believer in the Ravens offense. I look for Pittsburgh to win this by a touchdown just because the Ravens won that first game. And that was without Roethlisberger. Oh. Remember that. Remember that. Pittsburgh gets this by a touchdown.
Wow.
Hard
okay.
Hitter.
Well,
very hard hitter.
Okay. Okay. I've got actually Baltimore winning this game, and I got them winning big. Mainly because they're going to play. They're not really going to put pressure on Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to make him have to run out of the pocket to find somewhere to get the ball off to. With a broken foot, it's not going to be easy to do. But Pittsburgh will try to counter by running the ball with Rashad Mendenhall. This year, Baltimore has been very susceptible to the run. So, you know, we'll see if Mendenhall can do something against Big Ray Ray and the rest of those guys. But I got Baltimore winning this game. And I got them winning pretty good at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. All right, you can get some of them wings again from that B-More place you went to, got them wings and fries.
Everybody listening, if you're in B-More, get out there. I forgot the name of it, but I'm going
to... Popo's or JoJo's or something like that?
JoJo's, there it is. JoJo's Chicken. Oh, my goodness. The greatest. When my little man comes home next week, that's the first place we going.
All right, just send a brother some. All right, last game of the week. We're going to go to Gillette Stadium. It's the rematch. Will he or won't he? Will Bill Belichick beat Rex Ryan at Gillette Stadium? I'm asking you, Rick. Will he?
Hey, that's the brain. I can't see the brain losing twice. They lost the first one. Uh-uh. Not this time. The Jets. Sanchez is doing what he's supposed to do. He's managing. He hasn't thrown for 250-plus this year. If he did, I missed that game. But this is New England we're talking about. At any time, Brady can go out there and throw for 3-plus. At any given time, I don't see it. I see New England winning this hands down. It's not going to be by a lot, at least by a touchdown, because at some point, the Jets always have a breakdown. And the fact that Jim Leonard is now out, which was the captain of that defensive secondary, they're going down. I don't care about Revis Island. I don't care about Cromartyville. It's going to be all New England. New England. Watch out for Branch. Brandon Tate looks like Randy this week. Wes Welker, Woodhead, Ben Jarvis. I don't want to name anymore because Belichick might go out there and score. I'm telling you. New England.
Oh, my gosh.
New England.
All right.
And they're in New England?
Yeah.
England.
Sounds like somebody's scared right there. I think the Jets are going to do a repeat. I think
in the last game,
Sanchez threw for 3 touchdowns. Who did he throw them to mostly? Dustin Keller. I think that even though New England's defense has stepped up, especially in the passing game, I still think that you got a real good shot with Dustin Keller, San Antonio Holmes, who didn't even play the first time they played. You also have Braylon Edwards, and you got Jericho Cotchery. Jericho Cotchery will be the punt returner as well. So you've got a lot of good stuff going on there, and I think the Jets win this game. Not by much, but they win this game. All right, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. You have our picks every last game. I want to thank our special guests, Miss Black America DC Metropolitan Camilla Collier Mullen, for sharing her story. Go to her website, ccfoundation.org. That's C-E-C-E-Y foundation.org to learn more about the candlelight vigil happening in DC. It's for a good cause, y'all. You got to do it. You got to do it, all right? I want to thank Jerry for his kind payment. Now I have money in my PayPal account that I can spend. He'll be giving me more, especially if the Redskins win this week. And we want to thank Black Emo, who wasn't on the show. He's our bookie. He's our resident bookie and gets our stuff in for us, so we appreciate that. Rick, you got anything you want to say?
Hey, power to the people. Thank you, Ms. Black America, for blessing us like that. We needed that. All my folks in D.C., I'm telling you, if you got a chance on Friday, support that cause. Go out there and support that cause. I'm definitely going to try my best to get out there because I love it. All the positivity, we need that. We need that. Not really, not even just as a community, not even as a city, but we need that as a people, period. Not just black people, white people, everybody. We need that as a people.
All right. From his mouth to God's ears. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. We'll see you next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, don't forget, we have a show on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show. Ricky, Black, Jeff, Jerry, they're all hosting. They always have a great guest. Always come back and visit your boy FSP. You got to love me. You just got to love me. Rick, go to work, Slim. I'll talk to you later. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics.